Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Tell Me Why You're Special. This is not a highlight reel. This is the arena. This is where people with God-given potential step in, even when it's scary, where we talk about the part that nobody posts about, okay? The rejections, the doubts, the ugly first drafts, the seasons where you're getting your ass kicked, but you refuse to quit. Because potential isn't proven in comfort, it is proven under pressure. And today's guest, I'm super honored that she said hello today. We've got Lydia Axe, and she's not just building a business, she's helping coaches stop playing small and actually make money doing the work they say they're called to do. So let's get into it. Hello, hello, Lydia. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, yeah, super excited to be here.
Yeah, my first question is super easy out the gate, and I give it to everybody. This is your hot seat elevator pitch. If you had 60 seconds stuck in an elevator, who do you help? What problem do you solve? And why do we need to know about it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I help usually corporate professionals to transition into the business owner. Coach, consultant, advisor, teacher, solopreneurship role, and build a sustainable, fun lifestyle, profitable business. That's what I do, and I'm excited to do that.
Yeah. What is the moment that you realized that this was your calling and little things? Like, I think a lot of people get stuck in that era of like posting and praying, right? We're going to post that we're a coach and just pray. Like, when did you realize what you're, that this wasn't going to cut it?
Right. Well, first of all, I left corporate 12 years ago.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm a veteran. I'm an online veteran. So, and I've been pivoting, this is not my first niche, right? So, first I had a brick and mortar business when I left corporate. Then I'm like, oh, really love this coaching space. And I got my coaching certification. And then I'm like, well, I want to lose weight. I just had my fourth child.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to lose weight. Who's going to do it with me? And that was my first challenge that I ran. Nobody even knew what challenge
Yeah.
was, right, when I did it, right? So it kind of, I did it before everyone knew what it was. So, and then, for the next 5 to 6 years, I was helping women to go through midlife crisis, and I published a book about it. I had my Instagram account grown to 50,000 subscribers,
Wow.
and I had one-on-one clients, cohorts, groups, everything, you name it. I had a podcast, so I've tried it all, I did it all. But I also have, before all that, I was in 15 years, I was in business, right? I was a finance. I had a business education, business background, something that majority of coaches don't have. So, recently I pivoted, and I'm like, well, what should I do? And it clicked. It clicked. Not immediately, but through some exploration, and thanks to ChatGPT, and Claude. You talk back and forth, you ask them, like, what should I be doing? And they ask you questions, and you're like, well, this is what I've done. And they're like, what if you do this? And so what I'm doing right now is a combination. Everyone talks about ikigai, where you have the passion, so what you like doing, what you're good at, you have experience about, and people are willing to pay. So I think right now what I'm doing is ikigai. Now, am I gonna do it forever? I don't know, because I'm multi passionate person. I'm doing something for some period, and then I'm like, well, maybe it's time to move on. But right now I'm really passionate about helping coaches, because I see a lot of great coaches
Yeah.
struggle. And I want to help them.
Yeah. No, I see that. And I want to circle back kind of like where, it's where you started the weight loss business. You're like, I needed to lose weight. I took people with me. And I feel like our whole journey in life is like, yes, let's go. what am I struggling with, and how am I going to fix this, and who's coming with me, right? So before you started helping coaches to hit those consistent income months, what were you struggling with behind the scenes in those moments when you were like, yes, I'm going to help coaches? What was your struggle?
My major struggle when I looked back, and I'm like, I probably could have been earning more. So I tried to analyze what was wrong, and it was never staying long enough with something. So picking the strategy, and I don't know, I don't like labels, but whether it's ADHD, whether it's FOMO, shiny object
Neurospicy, yeah, all of the
syndrome.
things, yeah, all
I
of
think I can tick all those boxes,
it,
to be honest.
yeah, we all
Whatever it was, I was too quick. If it
can.
didn't work, I would switch. I would just drop it and move to some, you know, I have my own podcast, okay? And
Nice.
this is my third attempt at podcasting. Now I'm at episode 20. Before, my first podcast stopped at episode 3. My second podcast stopped at episode 1.
Yeah.
This is the thing. So if I look back, every time I did not achieve stuff, I think it was because I didn't stay. I didn't have the grit, the self-trust, and some other things that I'm teaching now, long enough to see the result,
Yeah.
right? You can tweak and change, but you stay the same lane. You stay with the same, you know, offer niche, and the tweaking, you know, you can do the tweaking, but you still go in the same way, and you capitalize on the progress. What I did, I was just rebooting, rebooting, rebooting to square one, not able to capitalize and not seeing the results.
Yeah.
That was the biggest mistake.
No, I think that's an incredible lesson for everyone because I see so many people get started and they quit. And I think what makes you incredibly special is that you recognize that you took massive responsibility, you owned it, and you're like, look, I'm not going to beat myself up forever. So what? I quit too early a few times and you just get back up. And I think that's what separates people like us from the people that are still kind of just sitting on the sidelines. It's just a matter of like, you're going to screw up. You're probably going to mess it up. You're going to make mistakes. It's meant to be messy. And this is why I'm passionate about this show because I see, Instagram coaches everybody just shares the highlight and it's so unattainable. It's so, you cannot connect with it. And so that's why I want to talk about the mess. So I want to talk about your identity because I know this is something I personally struggle with. At what point did you stop seeing yourself as like trying to make it? And when did you actually start owning your authority?
Interesting. Yeah, well, first of all, I'm a certified values coach, so I'm very strong on values, and I think your identity is your values, right? So I know my values. So my values are daring. So, you know, any challenge,
You're
I'm
up
up
for
for
it.
it. Honesty, you know, like I have to just share what it is. Every time I try to present something that is just vaguely not what it is just throws everything off. So daring, honesty, and then influence. I crave to impact other people's lives, right? So one-on-one, yeah, I do work one-on-one, but it's not my preferred thing.
Method.
So I love talking to people through podcasts, through public speaking, through group coach. You know, I'm building community because I just realized I need to talk to just bigger audiences, because that's where I shine. That's how I multiply. So yeah, I think it's understanding your values, and I realize these are my values, and I'm gonna own them, and I'm not gonna run away. I'm not gonna play small. I'm not gonna say, oh, you know, real coach should do. So the shoulds, I guess, when I just stopped listening to the shoulds or whatever other people say, I'm like, well, this is who I am. And, you know, I'm 49. So I'm like, well, It's h half of my life is
Right.
probably done. Maybe it's time to just embrace that and just go from there. And then every single decision. So again, what is embracing your identity? What does it mean in real terms, in practical terms? Well, basically, every decision you make, you just ask, is it serving me? Is it helping me? Or is it hurting me? And that's it. And then things become really binary, right? Things become, it's either yes, hell yes, or hell no. Hell yes or no, I guess, right? So, and look, it's not that I'm not struggling, right? Again, we're here very honest and very raw. We're human. Yeah, sometimes some opportunity comes and like, oh, this looks like so shiny, nice, and and then I just take time. I'm very impulsive, I'm very emotional. Again, just understanding who you are, a
Related.
lot of self-awareness. I'm very emotional, so I know I can, I should not take decisions right away because they might not serve me. So I'm like, let me just take a day to think about it, and then I'm like, oh, it just doesn't serve me, not my values, not my, it's not gonna help me, and that's it, and then it becomes easy.
I want to say, like, I do think that age kind of plays into owning your authority. I mean, I look at my past and I've been kind of the same person all along, right? The core ethics, values, morals, like I've been the same, but there's been a transformation. I think it wasn't until I hit my 40s where I was just like, number one, I love life more than I ever have. And I feel like I've always loved life, right? So it's just a natural thing. Number two, you start to realize, okay, my brain is different. Everybody's brain is different. How can I work with it? It's not the enemy, right? And then you find this voice, this unapologetic, and I give God all the credit for it. But like you just don't care anymore. Opinions, who cares? What people say, who cares? Like you realize none of that's paying your bills. You have enough life experience now. And so, I love talking to younger. Most of the people I work with happen to be younger than me. And so I love trying to help them see that hack like a little bit sooner, but I still think life experience counts so much for just really owning your authority.
Also, I lost a really dear friend about 4 years ago. She's 45, same age. So about 4.5 years ago, we were the same age, 45. She just gone. Cancer, 2 months. She
Oh
was there,
my
and then
gosh.
she was gone. That was another, like, we get these wake-up calls. And again, it's not age related, it's just the events. These events impact us. So it was another wake-up call. Like, Lydia, you don't know. Is this, is this your last day? Is this your last month? Is this your last year? So why don't you make the most of it in the good sense, in kind of realizing the full potential, like what's been given to you. You're here with some seed, with something, the talents inside of you. So make the most of them. They're not like everyone else's. They're yours. They're very unique. So it's been another thing that kind of, I don't know, I
Had
remember
a
her
hold
every
on you.
day.
See, I love that. And you're doing the thing. Like, I see people that lose someone they love and they kind of close off. And that's not how we honor the people that die, because I'm sure if your friend could be here in a heartbeat, of course she would give it all back and she would live life to the fullest. I mean, that's just what it is. So when you can lose someone and then find that space, like you're honoring her every day that you're stepping into your potential. I love that for you.
Sure, absolutely.
What is the most uncomfortable truth that coaches need to hear about why they're not making money?
Well, the it's irony because the uncomfortable truth is that they need to start doing what's uncomfortable to them. Because They keep doing what is comfortable. They keep learning. The mistake that I see coaches do again and again and again, they're like, "Oh, I need another certification." You know, we coaches, we love learning, and which is good. We should keep learning, but we should dedicate 10% of our time, and we should have budget for it. You know, money is another issue. But 90% of our time, especially in the beginning of our business, we should dedicate to growing our business. And it involves uncomfortable things. And it's not posting, because posting is somewhat comfortable. Yeah, I just can post because it's very anonymous. It's like,
You just
okay,
throw it out and hope. Hope it.
yes, exactly. What we should do, we should outreach, right? We should send connection request. We should comment on other people's posts, sharing our opinions. We should outreach. We should send DM to people in our network, people we just connected, you know, and then we should organize workshops and then invite people in. We should organize communities. I mean, we should create YouTube videos or maybe Instagram videos, you know. Many there are many ways, become guests on podcasts. There are many ways how we can do this, but majority of them are uncomfortable. And then jump on the discovery call and then do the sale, right? And again, majority of them are going to be uncomfortable in the beginning for sure. So if something feels uncomfortable or you're afraid to do this, I think this is indication this is the path.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I know there is a lot of toxic culture in the coaching space, and you know, there are a lot of people that you it's very obvious that they've sold their soul, right, for the sales. And so I've seen a lot of coaches that feel weird about selling. What shifted for you around the idea of sales being service?
Right. Well, yeah, first of all, there's so much myth and misconceptions, and you know, that creates this toxic. And there's so many people who call themselves coaches, and honestly, they have nothing, you know, they have nothing to do with coaches. Okay, now that out of the way, sales. And look, I told you, I started my first business 12 years ago. And then I had my brick and mortar business, Kids Club, and we have a little corner with kids' toys and books, kind of a nice presence. So moms would bring kids, you know, the kids could have kind of daycare classes, and then the moms would hang out. And I'm like, "Hey, look, we have this nice little corner with these books and toys." And before that, I hated sales. I was like thinking, "Oh my God, sales people are, you know, car sale, the worst people in the world." You know, I will, you know, I hate sales. But when I was there, I was like, I was not even considering this. This is sale. I was like, hey, first of all, you're waiting for your kid, doing nothing, right? So you have time. And while you're just doing nothing, look, I have this amazing book, and I handpicked every single item in that shop. I was the owner, right? And I picked, and these books, I was like, this book is like from this author with these illustrations. It was not just a book, it was a special book that I picked and the toy. And I'm like, if you're not buying it, I'm taking it home to my kids, you know? Like, it's your choice, it's you or me. So, and they would buy, and that would be so easy, natural. So that's when I started to realize that, first of all, you need to believe. And when you're selling your services, that's where, you know, you have to believe 100% that what you're selling is what they need. So it comes down, you're not shoving down the throat something they don't need, right? That's what creates this strange feeling, this scarcity, this you know, fake feeling that you try. No. So on the sales call, and I think coaches are the best salespeople because they know how to ask questions, they know how to listen, they know how to say it back. Like you have all the skills already. Please don't go to all the sales training because sales training, you don't need the sales training. Sales training is for salespeople. You're not a salesperson. You know, these are very different. So you have all the skills. Ask what they need, listen carefully, repeat back. You already have this. You know this from your coaching training. And then, if what you're offering is going to help, you know, solve this, then it becomes obvious. Then the only problem, I think there is only one problem, is that naming the price. And that's where it comes. Do you believe that what you're offering, you know, has the value of this price? And that's a completely different conversation, right? That, you know, that is there. But otherwise, it's just if you believe, like, this is amazing thing that I'm showing, you know, as if I'm showing you, like, the book, the toy that I was selling, because I believe that this is such an amazing book. If you're not taking, I'm taking it. If you believe so much in this service and you believe they need it, and when they use it, it's gonna solve their problem. Like, how difficult could that be?
Why do you think so many people resist choosing a niche? Like, what happens? What's the shift when they finally do? I struggled with this because I wanted to do everything. I wanted to do everything. I'm like, I can't just put it in a little box.
Every single coach struggled with it, me included. We have this curse, coaches, you know, because coaching is universal tool. You know this, I know this. Coaching, it's like a Swiss knife. Like you can apply it to everything and everyone. It is a struggle, and why we struggle because there is some sort of belief that we think, oh my God, you know, if I narrow it down, how can I find these people? It's going to be more difficult. I'm going to post, but you know, in my audience, I don't have those people yet, right? So, you know, there are so many limiting beliefs. So if I narrow, I will not find, they're not in my audience yet. I have to keep it broad to try to get, oh, what if the client comes? And then, so there, what if, what ifs, what ifs, right? So, and then one more thing, they look at someone who made it. Coaches who made it, I don't know, Mel Robbins or like Tony Robbins, or like they look at the huge, you know, people who made it, and they're very broad, but they can afford to be broad. This is, you know, you cannot afford to be that broad when you're just starting out.
Thank you for
So I
saying that
think,
out loud.
yeah, two things. We look at people who made it, who are way, way, way far, far from us. And then they're also afraid that if they narrow, that nobody gonna respond. Now, your product, I think the little tweak here, your offer and your product and your position should be very narrow, but the content doesn't have to be, right? Again, it can be a little bit broad, but just again mentioning, you know, again, it's a bit of an art and science, but in your content, again, mentioning your narrow niche, but it's, you know, it's every single coach struggle with this, but it's scary. But if you try it, and if you do this for, I don't know, at least 30 days, 90 days, you will see such a big difference,
Big difference.
such a big difference.
Yeah, I very much agree with that. What are you building right now that feels bigger than just income, where you just know this is like an assignment you can't steer from no matter what?
Yeah, oh, I'm doing two things, which is I never recommend my clients do two things. I'm a big focus person, but I'm doing two things. First of all, I'm building a community. I'm building a community for coaches, consultants, entrepreneurs, and I'm like, this is a 12-month sprint, 12 months to 12K kind of monthly
Nice.
sprints. Okay. And I'm doing it. I'm rebuilding my own business, and it's like, come and join me. I'm
Yeah.
not a guru. I'm just sharing everything I know from my 12 years, and to just come with me on that journey. And I'm really passionate about that. And I think we are in the era where online world is shifting, right? The online courses are pretty much dead because you can get everything you need from AI, from internet almost free. So, but what you need to have and what you want to have is other people doing it with you. So communities are even
Accountability.
more communities, support, accountability is even more on the rise. So that's why I'm building community again, right? So, this is one thing. And then I've built a habit app or a tracking app again to support that accountability, because I believe, and I've built in the coach client or accountability buddy thinking there. So they support each other because I believe in this. I believe in community. I believe in accountability. I believe in support. I think knowledge is widely available. This is what is value.
I love that. Tell us where everybody can find you, how they can find your podcast, how they can get into your group, how they can get your book, all the things.
Sure. Well, first of all, LinkedIn is the first place. Leader X. You can Google me, join me, follow me. My after corporate life newsletter there. And my community is A Zone because it's all about action, right? We just talked about it. It's all about action. It's called Magic Activation Zone, but school A Zone. So Magic Activation Zone. Hopefully you can find links from LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'll have all the links in the show notes for you guys as
Perfect.
well.
Perfect,
Yeah.
perfect. Yeah,
Well,
just come and
Lydia,
join.
you are amazing and I appreciate you, and I'm always honored when I get to share space with someone who has heard their calling and is doing the work. No matter what comes at us, you're waking up and you're doing it. And I want you guys to know, like you listening, you're special too. And it's not because of a logo, it's not because of money, it's not because of followers, but it's because you're willing to step into the arena, because you're willing to show up. Because you're ready to build something instead of sitting in the stands critiquing what everyone else is doing, and that matters. So I want you guys to stop waiting for perfect. Stop waiting for permission and stop waiting until you feel ready. You've got something inside of you that will not leave you alone. That is your assignment, your mess. That is your message. So please step into the arena. Hit subscribe on this podcast, share this episode, check the links, get connected with Lydia Axe. And if you think you're special enough to sit in the hot seat, talk to me, brandonlynette.com. I'll see you guys in the arena. Thanks again, Lydia. So great meeting you.
Thank you so much.